Hello and welcome once again. Welcome back to the ring. I, of course, am your host, the one and only. It's me. It's Dr. B.O.B. And with me again this week, the consigliere of the Dr. Bob medical practice, the man who just had to tell his jabroni ass brother to shut the hell up because he was keeping the tens and tens of listeners away from hearing the most entertaining podcast in podcasting history, the one and only Rob the Lawyer. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, just hanging in there, watching wrestling get yelled at on Twitter. So, you know, same old.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. You know, we probably should revisit that. It's not tens of tens. It's more like fives of fives.
Ones
fives
of ones. Twos. Yeah, I just tens of tens is fine. You know, because the only statistics we get is what Spotify, just people that listen on Spotify. Like, we don't see who listens on Apple or anything or anything else, I think. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Anymore, because I used to get like a breakdown of like how many people listened on what, and I don't get that mm-hmm. anymore. So
I gotta
go by what they tell me. So, but yes, we're in the double digits again this week, so that's good to go. We're moving in the right direction very slowly, one person at a time.
Maybe it was the cowboy.
Maybe it was, or maybe it was the person whose booking we're going to get into later today that I had to tell them, look, you can accuse me of being a cornet parrot all you want, but why don't you go listen to my podcast and actually hear what I think of this stuff, because there's a lot of things that Cornette and I are not on the same page about and probably never will be, but that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I never took you to be a full on, cult of Cornette member. I don't even know if that's what they call the people.
Well, I'm a huge Cornette fan, and I listen to him loyally because I think he's fucking hilarious, and I love it when he takes a piss out of AEW. But there's some things I think he's, and this is the thing I don't think a lot of people understand. He's harder on WWE than he is on AEW. And I think that they don't, like, when people are like, oh, Cornette hates AEW, it's like, you have no idea the shit he says about WWE. That just isn't true. I'm sorry. Some of it is. You know what, some of it is, but a lot of it, I'm like, you're kind of reaching there to get something to complain about. Speaking of something I had absolutely no complaints about, first thing on our agenda today, Elimination Chamber. I walked out of that pay-per-view just happy, just godsmacked happy. How about you?
I was tired, but it was highly entertaining.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but that's because I had my cat woke me up for food, so mm-hmm. I decided to stay up and watch it. He's been doing that a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. Rob lets his pussy tell him what to do.
Yeah, exactly. No. So I don't know. I was tired, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I wasn't too happy with the main event, but everything. I mean, well, okay. Just wanted to clarify, I liked the main event. I just felt like either the men's or the women's chamber should have been the main event. But everything about that show was just well put together. Even the from like the pacing of the matches mm-hmm. to the, even the camera work. So, I don't know. They're doing something great lately. And it has that more of a sports feel to it now, as mm-hmm. opposed to just like a highly produced feel. I don't know if that makes sense.
It doesn't feel like a television show that happens to have wrestling on it.
Yeah.
It feels like a sports show, you know, even
that
with
happens to have segments for like, entertainment purposes.
Yeah, it feels like a wrestling show, really. If you ask me, even down to, like when they go to commercial and they'll show the little blips and, photos in the like logo for whoever just came out as they go to commercial. I'm like, well, they do that shit all the time in sports. They'll show if they're at the, let's say it's the Titans that are playing, they'll show the Titans logo or some, you know, star for the Titans before they go to commercial, or when they come back, they'll show the opposing team, one of their top stars or something.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all I was saying.
No, I'm saying it's just like when you watch an NFL game. It's exactly the case. You like they cut to commercial and they throw up the, you know, the like a still image of something that just happened, like a pick six or something. And this is what they're doing here. And I mean, it's got a good feel to it. They've adapted finally.
It's fresh because for
Yeah.
years the WWE has been the exact same presentation because the exact same person's been in charge of the presentation and refuses to change it because that person didn't even like wrestling to begin with. Kevin Dunn made so much money in wrestling while hating the wrestling business. It's ridiculous.
I would love to have his type of luck. 'Cause
I
that's
don't
what it
know.
was. I mean,
I mean, yeah, have his luck, but he's such a, and somebody, I think somebody on Twitter said that I've never heard anyone say anything good about Kevin Dunn ever.
what's a hint? Was it was he the one, or was it his dad who ran into the building to take pick up the library?
That was his
It's
dad.
like,
That was his dad.
okay, so yeah, then there is nothing good about him, because that's the only positive story I heard related to Kevin Dunn, is that someone ran into a burning building to pick up the tapes, and
To
you know,
save
was
him from the
guaranteed a
electric.
job for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so yeah, no, it was really good. I mean, all the matches, the victors were all predictable. You know, we kind of knew going in who was going to win every match. The
Yeah.
finishes weren't as predictable as I thought. Anybody if anybody who had anybody had Logan Paul knocking Randy Orton out so Drew McIntyre could pin him on their fucking bingo card, they're fucking
They're
lying
lying. Oh yeah, 100%.
because I did not see that coming. And it, I've stood up like, what the, like, it was awesome. And
And I liked how it was kept off screen, so you couldn't see it until it actually happened.
yeah, you couldn't see Logan Paul at all laying there. I didn't even know. I thought he was
Yeah.
already out of the chamber. Like,
That's what I thought too.
and what was going on in the chamber was so engrossing that, you know, I wasn't even really paying attention to what was ringside anyway, because like this was it, you know. And then
Yeah.
Randy hits the RKO, and I'm like, oh shit, Randy might actually win this. And then here comes Logan Paul. Bop. Drew McIntyre covers him. Like, really good finish there. I like the women's chamber better this year, to be honest with you. I think one, having Tiffany Stratton in there, really, like watching her the whole time she was in there, she was the star of that match, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Like she looked like she was she looked like she felt comfortable doing it. Does that make any sense? Like,
Yeah, it looked like she'd been, it looked like she was almost a veteran and just getting her time to shine, basically. Like she did not look lost. I mean, if you look at her match where she had against Becky, I can't remember if it was they fought twice, I think. I can't remember which one it was. But it was like, you know, there were times where Becky was telling her to slow down and, you know, stay down a little bit. And we talked about it on this podcast. There was none of that here. She looked like she knew exactly. She was in control of herself. She was in control of her moveset. She knew exactly, you know, she wasn't, there was no anxiety, no hesitation, and no nervousness. It's, you know, shown by her.
She wasn't rushing to do things
No,
either.
no.
I will say I wish she would get rid of the cartwheel thing because
Yeah, I don't
it
like that, but it's
doesn't,
not bad.
I mean, it, when it comes off, it looks great. But it only comes off about 30% of the time. And the
Wait, are
rest
we
of the
talking
time,
about
it
the
looks bad.
cartwheel in the are we talking about the cartwheel where she like re where she kind of cartwheels onto their opponent and like lifts them?
Yeah, the
Or are we talking
cartwheel
about
into
the
the Alabama Slam.
handspiel though? Oh, yeah, okay. I want to make sure, because I know she does a cartwheel into an elbow in the corner, but I just wanted to make sure we're talking
Oh,
about
no,
the right
that's
one, because
the
the
that's a like a somersault. That's the Muda. She does the double somersault into the elbow in the corner. Yeah, the
Yeah,
Muda
that I
elbow.
like.
No, no, that looks
That
really
looks
fucking
nice.
good. It has a lot of momentum behind it too, which a lot
Yeah.
of people who do that somersault elbow, or the flip elbow,
Don't.
whatever you want to call it, like it doesn't, they tend to not hit it with as much force as you need to make it look
Yeah.
good. Kind of like
You know
when
who had a good
Roman
one?
Reigns, when he was a baby face and he would do the like clotheslines in the corner. And it was like,
Yeah,
dude,
that
you got
was.
to hit those things because that just kind of looks like you're just kind of throwing your arm all around them.
Yeah, it looks nice and soft.
Yeah.
It looked comfortable.
I wasn't, you know, I wasn't like, oh, that looks like it hurts. But
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. The tag match for me was the best match of the night because it was an honest to God tag match where actual tag rules applied and everybody followed the tag rules, and it only broke
Yeah.
down like twice. And that was right towards the very end of the match when they were going to the finish.
Which is where it should be for the most part if it's going to break down.
Yeah, I mean, you can have it break down in the beginning or the middle, but it can only be for like maybe 30 seconds. You can't have it like, I hate the thing where they come in and everybody gives everybody else their fucking finisher or one of their signature moves and then rolls out of the ring. I hate that spot. I've always hated that spot because it's stupid.
Oh
It's,
yeah.
I mean,
I remember seeing people talk about that one SmackDown where it's like Booker T gets the axe kick, Angle hits the Angle Slam, Kane hits the choke slam, then next thing then here's Test with the big boot or whatever, whoever were the people were in there, I don't remember anymore. I do know Booker T didn't have the axe kick. He got hit twice with a finish. But that to people are like, oh, that's the greatest ending to SmackDown ever. I'm like, it was stupid. It's just a bunch of finishes left and right until you get to the final finish.
Well, and
It it's not a great segment.
it looks choreographed or phony because the people taking the finishes, they'll do their finish and then just kind of stand there waiting for the next person to come and deliver their move to them. You
Exactly.
know, like it
It's
doesn't,
too choreographed.
yeah. You know, the one where, the one a little while ago where, what was it? It was like LA Knight and Randy Orton and AJ Styles and Roman. That came off pretty good because LA Knight came out of freaking nowhere on Randy Orton.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does look a little choreographed. But that's and kudos to Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, another star-making performance in this Elimination Chamber. They looked like big leaguers finally, and the Judgment Day looked great. And again, Judgment Day won. Men's Elimination Chamber match, very good. For me, the pacing on this one was a little off just because you had so many big dudes in there, if that makes any sense.
It does, yeah.
You know,
More
like
lumbering.
I think I could have used like at least one smaller guy, you know, to kind of keep
We had
things
Logan.
rolling a little bit. I mean, the smallest guy in there was what, AJ or not AJ, LA Knight probably.
I mean, what are we talking small, like stature or physical look?
Both, you know, like
I mean,
Randy's a
doesn't
huge
Logan Paul
guy.
count?
Kevin's big. Logan Paul's super fucking tall. Bobby
Yeah, I guess.
Lashley, Drew
Massive.
McIntyre. What was that?
Bobby Lashley is massive.
Yeah. Bobby
He's.
Lashley is like two regular sized people.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
like
he can make Drew look small. I mean, that's impressive.
not like Bronson Reed's like two regular sized people put together. Well, he's probably closer to three because that dude's massive too. But
Yeah, true.
yeah, Bobby Lashley's just if you took all the muscles off of one person and just kind of put him on another person, that's what Bobby Lashley looks like.
Yeah. Muscles
But
on
yeah.
muscles. He's massive.
But you see what I'm saying now. Like there were points in there where it would have helped to have somebody who was a little bit of a flippy, an Austin Theory or a you know, Grayson or somebody that could move around the ring or the Santos, somebody like that.
Yeah.
But overall, I really enjoyed it. And like I said, the ending made the whole match really worthwhile. And then of course, you know, the main event, Rhea versus Nia. We knew who was going to win that because they were in Australia. And that's the reason that
Yeah.
it was the main event. And honestly, I'm not upset about it. You know, I get the reasoning for it. And it was a really good match. It was probably the best Nia Jax match I've ever seen. So I got to give her
100%.
kudos because she's. Go ahead.
I was just surprised. I mean, she's come back, you know, since her return, she's actually been portrayed really well, and this match actually, you know, showcased a lot of her skills.
Yeah,
So I was, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. I was thinking going in, I'm like, why is this on the last, you know, why is this the main event? And I'm like, oh, Rhea's from Australia. That makes sense. But it seems kind of weird to have this, like, I mean, like when I'm thinking of Nia, I'm thinking like not the most technically sound, you know, most explosive moves set out there that would, you know, make for this kind of element. But she did really well.
I think, yeah, I gotta give it up to Nia Jax because when she came back, I rolled my eyes like everybody else did. We all did. And we were like, oh God, Nia again. And for the first few months, I did watch her matches. I didn't pay any attention to her. I was just like, whatever, whatever, Nia Jax. And then I don't remember what match it was I watched with her, and I was like, God damn, she's actually improved like a lot. She's really worked.
Yeah.
And I know she lost a ton of weight. She lost like 80 something pounds, which has got to help her move around. I know her knees, or both of her knees, had surgery on them. I think one of them twice. So I'm sure the weight loss helps with her mobility. And she's just, I don't know. It's like she gets it. It's like a light bulb went off and she understands the business now or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Plus, I believe that Triple H knows how to book her better than Vince ever did, because when
That's proving true for a lot of people.
he booked her in NXT, and she was a world beater in NXT. Like, it took forever for somebody to fucking beat her, and then finally, I think it
Yeah.
was Asuka. It took Asuka to beat her in
Oh yeah, it was Asuka.
NXT. Was that?
Asuka was the one who finally I don't remember if it was to throne her. I don't think she was I don't think Nia won the NXT championship. But
No,
I know Asuka was the first one to beat her.
yeah, Asuka was the first one, because I remember Bayley trying, and I was like,
Yeah.
because that was a great match. Bayley really. So, I mean, Nia's always, she's had potential, but I think under Vince, it was just, we're not going to use you correctly. We're not going to present you in the way you should be presented for your size. Like, she needs to be a
Yeah.
monster heel, just a monster, just beat the shit out of everybody heel. And that's what she's been, and it's worked. So there you go. Elimination Chamber. I think I gave it like a B plus, maybe a B.
Yeah, I would say B plus.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So
Yeah, there was nothing really wrong with the show. I mean, I know people were mad about the time, but
yeah.
I think the I don't I think those people who are mad about time are very insincere about it because it's not a big deal.
And for
It's
all the
not like you
people
have.
complaining, for all the people complaining about the Grayson Waller effect, go shove your head up your ass. They were in Australia and they wanted to get Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes in front of the audience somehow, some way. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. Go whatever. Plus, it's set
It
up.
didn't take away from any of the matches. You know, like there's always a fear that someone's gonna be like, oh, you went like a long segment, so maybe someone's not gonna get the full like 10 minutes or 15 minutes that they're allotted. Everything was perfectly paced. They knew how long they had for each segment. No one went over apparently, and everybody got to do what they wanted. And it was still a short pay-per-view. It wasn't like those 8-hour marathons for WrestleMania
Oh my
that
God.
used to exist.
Yeah.
So to me this was fine. I mean, and guess what? If you didn't like the promos at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, whatever, wherever you were, you could go get a drink, go to the bathroom, do whatever you needed to do.
Go get your
And that
popcorn.
there's go get some more food. There was your intermission time.
Yep.
It didn't hurt anybody.
No, it didn't. And if truth be told, I think it started the setup for Austin Theory's babyface turn.
Oh yeah.
When Seth and Cody were kicking the shit out of him and Grayson Waller didn't even try and help.
Yep.
I
I
think
like
that.
how Grayson just was like, nope.
So I think that's gonna. I think we're gonna see a little bit more of that, of Grayson kind of putting, th throwing Theory under the bus, ignoring Theory. You know what I mean? Like, Theory doesn't get a whole lot of talking time when Grayson is around. He just kind of stands
Yeah.
there and Grayson interrupts him. So I have a feeling that those things are going to come to a head down the line and Theory is going to end up turning on Grayson Waller and being a baby face, which, if I'm in all honesty, I think would be better for Austin Theory. I don't think he's ever seemed like he's felt comfortable as a heel, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean his best work has been as the bumbling, baby face.
Yeah, well, I don't think he needs to be bumbling. I think he should be a kick-ass
No.
baby face. I think he should
Yeah.
be, I'm not going to take shit from anybody anymore. I have been Johnny Gargano's puppet. Now I'm Grayson Waller's puppet. I was Vince McMahon's puppet. Well, you can't say Vince, but you know what I mean. Everybody else has thought that they knew what I needed to do with me, but this is what I actually need to do. And I think he's a really nice guy. I've heard that from people in the locker room. Just this is on Twitter. I'm not saying that I have sources in the WWE locker room that tell me what Austin Theory is like. This is just from what I've seen people talk about him on Twitter. So if he is a really nice guy, it might be hard for him to be a heel, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've seen him interact with kids and stuff when he, you know, when the cameras aren't, when he's not supposed to be on, and he seems like a super nice, nice and down-to-earth guy. So let him be a babyface. Let's give it a shot. Nothing else has fucking worked. You know, the best thing that worked was when he had the fucking selfie gimmick, and I thought that was stupid. So, you know.
They could.
I lost you. What? Hello?
Did you lose me? Because I felt like I lost you. I'm not sure what happened there.
Well, you're... Hold on a second.
It looks like I have a chance of joining on the other side, too, now. Oh, okay, you removed me from one of the meetings. Maybe that was what the problem was.
Well, yeah, you were... Actually, it was like you were trying to enter the chat again, or enter the Zoom meeting again. So I got rid of you. Maybe that'll help. But
yeah,
who knows? But anyway, you were saying about Austin Theory before we move on.
You know, I kind of forgot where my train of thought was going.
But anyway, so Elimination Chamber was good. Moving on. We have a big, big AEW pay-per-view coming up involving Sting's last match, the Icon Sting. Does anybody really care about the match itself? Because I don't.
In what regards? I mean, that it's the last match with Sting, or that
in regards to actually watching the match? Other than it being his last match.
I'll be honest, I'm more wanting to see the pageantry of this entire show, because I feel like, I feel like they're setting up, they were like this entire pay-per-view just seems like it's solely centered around Sting's retirement. So in my mind, if, you know, I could see Tony like trotting out anybody who is connected to Sting's past who can come, you know, because they want to.
Yeah.
Not because they, you know, just for any reason. I'm more interested in that. I feel
well,
like they're gonna
pay
them like,
money to be there. So.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, surprisingly, Nash doesn't want to show up.
Well, I'm not surprised about that at all. I mean, one of his best friends is Triple H, and the last thing he wants is Kevin Nash is All Elite underneath his name, you know what
I saw that. I saw that. I'm just surprised. I mean, there is a good. I'm sure Tony would have boatloads of money.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know. Well, maybe cash. Maybe Nash has said, you know what? I've had enough money.
Yeah, I think Nash's perspective on life has changed a little bit lately.
Yeah,
and I mean, for you know, understandable reasons.
But I'm with you. My big thing is what are they going to, like, if this were Sting's last match in WWE, like, right? They would be showing clips the whole time of Sting. They would build him up and, like, be showing young Sting and middle-aged Sting and old man Terry Funk Sting, you know? But
do you think so?
Yeah,
is that what they did with Flair, though? I mean, they didn't really do that. They did, to my recollection,
okay, well,
in promoting the HBK Flair match, they didn't really go with, I don't think they went that route.
Well, yeah, but that was Vince also. I mean, you got to think Triple H is going to pay homage to Sting's legacy if they're building it up to definitely be his last match. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I just that's the way I see it in my head. The problem I see is that Tony Khan doesn't have access to any of that because Sting only wrestled in WCW and TNA, and he doesn't have either of those libraries.
Yeah. I don't know.
Plus
I'm. Yeah, I mean, it makes on paper. Everything makes sense for what they're doing with Sting's final match in terms of the match itself. It's best to put him in a tag match. The chant it diminishes the toll it's going to take on his body. It's going to allow him to, it's pretty much what the Flair Andrade Lethal Jarrett match was supposed to, it's supposed to be.
I mean,
I feel like that was like a warm up to be like, okay, this is what we can, let's try this, concept out and see how it works. And the parts that didn't really involve Flair were pretty decent. Not the greatest things in the world, but they were, it worked. So I feel like that's what they're hoping to do here, except that I also see Sting doing the whole like hardcore shtick that he's got going on, where he's going to be jumping off ladders and going through tables and stuff,
I mean,
which,
here's the thing. What is he going to do with the Young Bucks in the ring?
I
Because they
don't
don't
know.
know how to work a regular pro wrestling style like Sting
Yeah.
does.
The only thing I can see is maybe Sting gets the hot tag, does his chop his knife edge chops, and kicks and stinger splashes and stuff like that. I can't see him working the duration of the match,
And the
which
Bucks
is
no selling.
sad. Yeah, no, they'll sell, I think. I mean, they sold for Flair last on Dynamite. Did you see the clips? Flair looked like he couldn't even move. And one of the Bucks took a punch to the face and like sold it.
Well, we'll see. I'm sorry. I feel like this is like, it feels almost like Flair's last match. Like it's like I wish this were on an actual promotion that could do it justice, or with opponents that could really make Sting look like something, like FTR, who is also in there.
Yeah.
Like
Why
that would
couldn't
have been the perfect choice, because not only that, but Sting, FTR is from North Carolina. Like that's where the match is. They grew up watching Jim Crockett and WCW, like in that era. So I don't understand how the Young Bucks work into this, because FTR seems like a way better choice for the natural tag match between for Sting to have. He's gonna have his,
Yeah,
but.
I don't. I'm just still trying to figure out why they picked the Bucks. Not that I mean, from
Well, I can tell you why
a
they picked the
marquee status,
Bucks.
like for the Nate profile status, it makes sense. I mean, they're
They
probably one of
picked
the
the
biggest
Bucks
names in the
because
company.
they picked the Bucks because the Bucks have been shit on TV, and they wanted to get their nose in it. They wanted to do this. They picked
Yeah, makes
that
sense.
because it's notoriety for them, not for any other fucking reason other than it gets them, they think it gets them over.
Yeah, I see that. I see that completely. Which is sad. I mean, it's supposed to be doing, paying homage to him, paying respects to his career, and they're seeing it as a way to, exploit the situation, I guess.
Well, I mean,
Which, is pretty interesting given their fan base. It
that's,
seems right on the money.
yeah, that's who they are, them and well, I mean, Flair's whole last match was Conrad Thompson trying to cash in on Flair.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate that motherfucker. I really do. Every time he posts one of his fucking titles or some shit, I'm just like, screw you, buddy. You've taken advantage of every fucking veteran that's come along.
How did he become a thing?
Well, he's Flair's son-in-law.
Is he
So,
really?
yeah, he's married to one of Flair's other daughters. So
All of
he
a sudden,
used,
everything makes sense.
yeah, he used that. He owned the gym. He bought the Jim Crockett Promotions, like the name and insignia and all that. He owns the copyrights to all of that shit. So, yeah, that's how he got that. And of course, anybody who's retired, he gets them to do a podcast with him so he can make money off of them.
I never knew how he did that. Now it makes sense how he had access to all these people.
And I'm sure he kisses everybody's ass so much. He's probably like Bruce Pritchard. You know what I mean? He just knows how to kiss ass really, really well. But maybe a little bit more, I don't just want to say malicious, but he'll take advantage of shit more than Bruce Pritchard does. I think Bruce Pritchard just kisses ass to keep his job and to keep himself, you know, where he's at.
Yeah.
You know. I don't think Bruce is malicious. I just think Bruce is Bruce. Anyway, that's all I've got to say about Sting. I love Sting. Sting was one of my favorites. He was my favorite for a long time, especially in the late 80s, early 90s. I was a little Stinger with my face paint and wanted to my blonde. I wanted to have a blonde, that blonde flat top. But anyway, moving on. Speaking of Sting,
the same thing, but I knew that would never work for me.
Speaking of Sting, well, I didn't. My hair had already started to turn brown by that point, so it would have had to have been dyed because it was. And the flat top, I can't have a flat top. My hair falls over to the side too much. I tried to have a couple in the when I was in the military, and it just did not work.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have too big of a head to make it work. It short hair does not look good on me.
But speaking to someone whose short hair did look good on, even if he looked like a bit of a troll, we lost a legend this week in Ole Anderson. I know you've seen, I don't know how much you watched of him as a kid, but I know you've seen the stuff we've watched from the WCW of Ole, great promo, wonderful in-ring worker, not the most personable guy, but from what I can tell, if he liked you, he liked you. And if he didn't, he didn't. And you always knew which was which. He wasn't going to play around with you. So I appreciate that much.
Yeah, when we started watching these shows, I did a little deep dive into him just to get an idea of what he was like, and he's always seemed like a straight shooter. And I think I noticed this, probably a conjecture. I don't know if it's true. You probably would know more than me, but apparently, like when I guess Vince at one point had a meeting with all the territories, and Ole was there, and he was the first one to leave the entire meeting, just pissed off at everybody or pissed off at Vince. And I'm like, that sounds about right. I don't know if it's a true story, but I could see that given what I've learned about him.
Vince hated Ole Anderson with a passion. They hated each other with a passion. Of course, Ole, rightfully so, thinks Vince ruined professional wrestling.
He destroyed the territories. Of course he did.
Yeah. He also, Vince didn't like Ole to the point where he didn't even allow them to mention Ole when they were inducting the Four Horsemen into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I remember always wondering why it was that, why Wyndham was included in the Four Horsemen because I knew, granted, before my time, before I started doing the podcast with you, obviously, but to me, it was like, that's not the original Horsemen. Why are they picking this, version to do it? And now it makes sense because they hated each other.
Yeah, that was, and it was also like everybody that was all the other horsemen, JJ, Tully, Arn, and Flair, Wyndham was their favorite member of the people who were members of the original Four Horsemen. I don't count the Four Horsemen in the second half of WCW when they tried to put it back together or whatever. I don't count that as the Four Horsemen. As far as I'm concerned.
You mean the Malenko era?
Yeah. I'm sorry. That's not the Four Horsemen. You can call it the Four Horsemen if you want, but that's not the Four Horsemen. That's like the new Midnight Express. That was not the Midnight Express. That was fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And even Cornette will tell you that was bullshit. That was something that Russo came up with to fuck with Cornette.
Yeah.
But anyway,
the reason I agree with you, I don't consider the Four Horsemen of the what we'll call the Nitro era to be a true horseman, because with the exception of I think Pillman, I think every iteration was brought on by someone who wasn't a horseman, like not an Anderson, not a Flair, not a Dillon, trying to get them to reform the group. And that to me is like, you don't tell the bosses to get the band back together when you were never a part of it.
Yeah.
And that just seemed that always struck me as weird. I'm like, I remember seeing Malenko trying to do it. I'm like, why is he doing this? He's not a horseman.
Yeah.
I don't know much about, I mean, I didn't know much about the horsemen back then, but I knew it was like, you had Flair, you had Anderson. You don't have, you know, you don't have a lackey begging, you know, basically saying, hey, let's reform this and put, make me a member. You know, that would just, it would have made sense if they.
It doesn't make any sense because the personality of the horseman was always big money, bright lights, women, cars, you know, that type of flashy type of attitude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ollie stuck out like a sore thumb in the first iteration of the Horseman, but he was such a well-respected veteran, and him and Arn Anderson were such a great tag team that it worked because he legitimately was better than almost everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But for the other, you know, the other two Horsemen, Luger and Wyndham, like, that's what it was. It was, you know, it was life in the fast lane. That's what you were when you were a horseman. You know, you were better than everybody else and you were flashier than everybody else. And you had no problem being braggadocious and throwing your money around and looking better. Dean Malenko is not that type of personality at all. And so putting him in the four, saying that he's a member of the Four Horsemen is like, I don't know, saying that, let's see, who's somebody who's like super, super white. Like saying John Cena's in the bloodline.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah. No. You know what it was though? I mean, I know we're getting off track. It was the like, okay. I think whoever booked the Pillman version of the Four Horsemen caused a ripple effect where anybody who booked it afterwards didn't really get what the horseman was. Because based on your description, Pillman was not the, I mean, at that point, he was already starting to become the loose cannon Pillman.
Yeah.
He didn't fit the horseman mold of, you know, like of that style.
Yeah.
So when you added him, it was basically at that point, it became it was just focused on who can out wrestle, forget the personalities. Put guys in who are technically sound, who are great wrestlers, and if they're you know, let them keep the personalities they had going into it. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's what really screwed up the, you know, Nitro era Horsemen. You're going to think I'm crazy.
Go ahead.
You're going to think I'm crazy, but the only time they probably tried to get it right was with the worst member or one of the worst members to be on the Horsemen in one of the newer versions.
Mongo?
Yeah, because he had that bravado.
Yeah, no,
to
he
him.
Fit the mold completely. He was the only person they tried to put in there that would have actually been a Horseman back in the day.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't think I'm crazy because, I mean, like, no, I think a lot of people don't like Mongo in the Horsemen. But when you look at what the Horsemen stood for and how they were formed and what they did, he was the one whose character fit perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why he's the, I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, you know, they're all going to say nice things about people that were Horsemen, but Flair
Not
and
Roma.
Anderson have both said that Mongo was a Horseman. Like, he was a Horseman. So, yeah.
So
the closest thing we ever got to a new Four Horsemen was Evolution.
Yeah.
Because that was on fucking point. I mean, you had Ric Flair, the veteran, you had Triple H, Batista, the giant fucking dude, because there was always a big dude in the Horsemen, you know.
Always an enforcer, yeah.
You know, and you had Randy Orton, who was the young up-and-comer, and they all wore suits. They all looked like $1 million. You know what I mean? They talked about how much money they had. They talked about how successful they were. They. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Evolution is WWE's version of the Four Horsemen.
And WWE is smart that they haven't revisited yet, or they won't, and they won't revisit it.
They probably never. They never should revisit it. They don't need.
No,
to,
they won't.
Don't
they
go
shouldn't.
Back to. Don't go back to old shit unless you're talking about like finishes and fucking programs. Don't, you know, no one wants another Jimmy Valiant. You don't need another Jimmy Valiant because you already got Jimmy Valiant and he already did it better than anybody else is ever going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, you could have another Nature Boy, because it's been a long time since there's been a Nature Boy in wrestling, and that wasn't Ric Flair's gimmick. Ric Flair stole, well, didn't steal that gimmick. He was given that gimmick from Buddy Rogers. But,
yeah,
you know, so, like, you can have the
gimmick. Didn't Rogers get it from Landell? Or no, that was the other way around. Landell stole it, right?
Well, I think Landell and Flair had an agreement that they were both going to use it, which always worked out great because anytime they were in the same territory, you could get the Battle of the Nature Boys. Which yeah. was always good because both guys were great workers. Well, Landell was a great worker if he was straight. If he was, you know, if he was partying too much, he wasn't reliable. But getting back to and again, Ole, you know, not only in ring, Ole was the booker of Georgia Championship Wrestling for a long time. Also down in, he was a booker down in Florida too, like. Ole actually came up with some of the most innovative programs and finishes of the era of that 70s, that late 70s era, because Georgia Championship Wrestling was huge until pretty much Crockett and Mid-South started to eke into Georgia because they lost a bunch of their top stars. I think they lost a bunch of money on something. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I bought Ole's book, so it's on its way. It was like $50 used in paperback, too. So it better be worth the read, Ole. So I'm sure I'll find out about all of that. But So, I mean, Ole Anderson was a giant in the wrestling business in pretty much every way you could imagine. So God rest you, Ole. R.I.P. to The Rock, the original Rock, Ole Anderson. All right, moving on. So, when I talked about getting yelled at on Twitter, apparently there was a house show, and there's video of this. Maxine Dupri had a match, which we know Maxine Dupri is literally training on the road with Chad Gable when they get an opportunity to get a ring and train. She's had 12 matches total in her, not in 12 matches in W, in her entire career. She's a young lady that was moved up to the main roster way too soon to be a manager because Vince McMahon liked the way she looked. When she decided she wanted to become a wrestler, she was already a mainstay on television. Triple H didn't want to take her off. So Chad Gable took over trying to train her. All this backstory to say that Maxine had a match. It probably didn't look that great. And there's video of a couple of guys, I don't know how many people it was, booing her, because I haven't watched the video in full, booing her and telling her to go away and never come back and that she's the worst and that she sucks. I want to say this, and this is the exact same thing I had to say then. I just want to get it out in the open here and see how you feel. When you go to a wrestling show, you have the right to boo or cheer or not do anything, whoever you want. I mean, you bought the seat, you can do that. But I do think you're being kind of an asshole when you're booing somebody who is super green and is in a precarious position like Maxine is. I think that's an asshole move. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't say that you can't boo people or that, you know, booing people that you don't like is wrong, whether they're baby faces or heels. But I mean, you're kind of just going out of your way to be a jerk to her for no reason other than she's not very good at wrestling, which, you know, she's not because she doesn't have time to train. Thoughts?
I could not agree with you more. My feeling is there's a difference between, okay, there's a difference between going to a, not going to, but, you know, cheering and booing a character and attacking a person. Maxine's character is a face. She deserves cheers. If you want to boo her because, you know, she's, you're fighting her character to be tiring or tiresome, and you know, the music character change, that's one thing. But when you're, you know, when you're maliciously attacking somebody based on their skill set, and I don't just mean like criticizing, I mean, you know, like telling them to quit their job and stuff like that. That like, there's a, it, it's one thing to say somebody, you know, doesn't get the business, doesn't understand what they're doing, you know, like they're doing a thousand moves when five will do. That's a different form of criticism.
Yeah,
when you're telling them they should quit because, you know, they're like a blight on the industry, that's where you got to draw the line. No one, like, it's like the people who, like, I read some tweets saying, oh, the men never get this. You had people wanting Roman Reigns to die,
yeah,
because of how he was being booked. That crosses the line. You don't.
Well, I mean, here's the thing though. Roman Reigns, Noah was criticizing his wrestling ability. They just didn't like the way he was booked, which is no fault of his own.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I understand the boos there because he's also being presented as a top guy, and they didn't want him as a top guy.
Okay, but and those are boos, but that's not maliciously attacking him.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if your character is tiresome, then you can boo him. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like this was, they're going way past what needs to be, you know, what I guess what's appropriate to say.
Yeah.
If you really think that, you know, keep it within your circle of friends, I guess, if you really want to, vocalize that opinion. But to do it with an earshot of her, where you are definitely targeting her, and hoping to God that she hears you, that's pathetic. And you know, you are just, for lack of a better word,
ordinary
an asshole.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree completely. And there's a couple just to, because I'm sure people are gonna say this, they're gonna be like, oh well, Rocky. One, Rocky Maivia character sucked. It was stupid, it was hokey, it was 80s WWF, and it never would have gotten it didn't get over in the 90s because people didn't want a white meat baby face in the 90s. Two, yeah. Rocky came in at one, single-handedly beat five other people in a Survivor Series match in his first match, and was pushed to the fucking moon and presented as the greatest thing since sliced bread when he could barely cut a promo and wasn't even that good in the ring. Yeah, people booed him, and people said, die, Rocky, die. Now, they didn't really want Rocky Maivia to die. They wanted the character to go away. But
yeah,
you know, but that's again another nuance. So there's a difference. Maxine is not even Eva Marie. Okay, let's look at Eva Marie. People chanted, "You can't wrestle at her," for years. Well, for months, she wasn't there for years because she couldn't wrestle. But she was also being presented as a top star.
Yeah,
there's a difference. Maxine is not being presented as anything but a very, very low card preliminary wrestler who, even in her storyline, isn't very good at wrestling because she doesn't really know.
Yeah.
What the fuck is her wrong entire, with you?
Her entire character is, you know, like, is looking shocked when she does a basic hip toss, you know? Yeah. Like, that's her character. I mean, there's,
and to say that these guys that booed her are assholes does not mean that you can't boo people you don't like, or that you can't, you know, say things to people about, you know, their character or their wrestler, especially the top guys. You want to, you know, talk trash to them all you want. That's fine. I'm just saying, in this one instance, these group of guys were assholes. That's all we're trying to say. We're not alluding to anything else other than right here in this video, these guys are assholes.
Yeah. If only for the fact that they wanted her to hear exactly what they were saying.
Yeah.
If, I mean, that at the very least, it wasn't, that's
like,
why
they turned to each other and says, man, she really sucked. You know, like,
yeah, they were trying to make her feel bad.
Yes. Yes. That was the whole point. And, you know, it just, it rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. I think it's a little, probably because I think they're probably a little misogynistic too, because I'm.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I'm sure, you know, they don't like women, or, you know, God forbid. I don't know. But
no, you're right.
Maxine, if you're listening, Triple H, you can tell Maxine when you hear this, that we support her 100%. I think she's doing a fucking great job for somebody who's barely had any training and, you know, is just seems to have the right attitude about it. So I'm fully support Maxine.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years down the road, if she still isn't any good in the ring, then I'll say she sucks and she needs to find somewhere else to be. But right now, let's, you know, give her a damn break.
Yeah. On a side note, or not a side note, but I mean, look at Mandy Rose. Mm-hmm. People thought she was horrible. She had time to really develop herself, and she was one of the top acts of NXT when she was down there.
Oh yeah.
And she was, you know, and deservedly so. So don't, you know, like this is it's not like she's been doing this for 20 years and hasn't improved. It's, you know, she's a manager at best and wants to wrestle and she's trying.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, which is more than what some people can say about half the people who, you know, who criticize everything.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, and we're not, it's I can't. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. I want to grab another beer real quick. I will be right back.
Sure. I will be here.
Why don't you tell everybody what you pulled out of your last box of Pokemon cards?
I don't even remember what I pulled. I just remember regretting opening it. Not for the sake of, you know, didn't get anything good. I just kind of wanted to keep it sealed. Doobadoobadoo.
Did you tell him?
I mentioned a little bit of it, yes.
Yeah, good. This man, he's like, I want a big case. I want to celebrate. I want to open this box of Pokemon cards. I'm like, do it.
I will say this. What I mentioned was I kind of regretted it, not because I didn't pull anything good, but because it's like I kind of wanted to keep it sealed. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm happy I did. But it's funny, like, you know, I'm almost 40 years old, and instead of going out and drinking and celebrating, what I want to do is stay at home with my cat, watch some wrestling and open some Pokemon cards while I'm doing it. I feel like, you know, either I'm doing it right in life or I'm doing it wrong.
You're doing it 100% right, man. You're doing good. It right. Trust me. But yeah. Well, see, and also you're asking the wrong person, because I'm a devil's advocate. I'm always going to tell you to do the thing.
Well, you know, it's funny. I that's what I want to hear. Yeah. I know what I want to do. I just want to hear someone say that. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
But, and also I'm like the most impatient person on the face of the planet. So there's no way I could keep a box of cards just sitting there sealed on a shelf and look at it every day and not be like, want to just rip it open right then.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the way I look at it, I have some cards from like the, you know, late when they first came out, mm-hmm. that, you know, are fairly expensive. But I don't have anything of it sealed because I was like a kid and I opened everything as, mm-hmm. you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
The stuff back then is worth more than whatever I could have, you know, the stuff back then sealed is worth more than what I could ever amass sealed here.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense to be, you know, keeping these things.
Yeah.
But, you know, the collector in me, you know, sometimes doesn't understand logic.
I understand. It's, yeah, I gotcha. I still need to like, pinch my nose and go to find a John Moxley signing so I can get him to sign this fucking figure.
Like, no, you don't. Yeah, you don't need it.
I really do. I know I don't need it, but I want it. It's kind of,
yeah,
like, I know. It's kind of like Jim Cornette has this fucking, this figure set of it's him and
the legend set,
yeah, him and Stan and Bobby and Dennis, you know, yeah. What I mean, and it's all four of them, and then it comes with a picture that all of them have signed, and I'm just like, oh, I want this, and Amy's like, you don't fucking need that. I'm like, I know, but I want it. It's so cool.
I mean, we don't need any of these things. We want these things. And, you know, sometimes we got to spoil ourselves.
She's like, Bob, you already have a signed picture of Jim Cornette. And I'm like, I do. I'm looking at it right now. It sits on my desk right by my computer.
Yeah.
He said, do me
proud. Well, it's like me. I mean, I have all these. I must have like 30 autographs of Sting, right?
Mm-hmm.
you give me an opportunity to meet him again, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go meet him and have him sign another thing. Yep. Do I need him to sign a 31st autograph? No. Did I need him to sign anything after the first one? No. Well, but am I going to go get it done? Yeah.
Also, when you go and meet somebody, it's kind of customary to buy something from them to sign. Yeah. Just because, like, it's kind of shitty to just walk up and be like, oh, hey, you're awesome. Thanks. And then walk away when they're at a con. I mean, they're there to make money. They're not,
yeah.
They're not just there to have fans, you know, fawn all over them.
Yeah. I'll tell you this one story. So at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, I went to WrestleCon. And, you know, they had the list of everybody who's going to be there, right? And Johnny B. Badd, Mark Mero was there, but he was not advertised. He was just, I guess he was hanging out with Luger or something. And I'm like, I want to talk to him, but I don't like they're at the same table. I'm like, I have nothing for him to sign. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do a picture. I didn't have him budgeted, but I was like, okay, you know, we're gonna make this work. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're gonna make it work. So I ended up getting, you know, like a photo with him and stuff, because it was just like, okay, I have to meet Johnny B. Badd.
Yeah,
that was my, you know, that was one of the guys in WCW that I watched and loved. But it was like, if I don't, I didn't want to talk to him unless I could get, I guess I could pay him for the experience.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. That was it.
Yeah, I was, okay, well, here's one that's really going to make you sad now. I was at, I went to the Rock and Roll Express versus FTR match in, it was in Greensboro, North Carolina, I think.
Yeah.
And, or Greenville, South Carolina. I can't remember what. It was one of the two. I always have a hard time differentiating between those two towns. But it was in Green something or other. And it was at the Civic Center there, where they've always had used to have the wrestling matches way back in the day. And the people there, of course, they had a little, like, you know, the little row where you could meet the wrestlers and shit.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any Wi-Fi in the building. So it was cash only, the whole thing. And I didn't bring any cash with me. Right. The only reason I got a, cause I went there, I bought one of the, like, I was second row. So I bought one of the, like, front row tickets. So I got a meet and greet with FTR and, a photo and some signatures from them. Although they just gave me the photo for them to sign because I didn't have money to pay for one. Because everything was cash only. So here's Scott Steiner, Jerry Lawler, Magnum TA, Arn Anderson, Matt Hardy, all there. And I didn't go up and talk to any of them because I didn't have any fucking money to pay any of them.
Ouch. That's
Jerry
that's
Lawler,
rough.
Too. Like, that was, I was like, this is Jerry, and he was like signing shit and drawing shit on it, and I was like, oh, I want a Jerry Lawler. He had the pump Funko Pop figures, and I was like, I want a Jerry Lawler Funko Pop with his autograph. But yes, I know I sound like a whiny little kid now, because that's what I felt like. It sucked so bad.
Oh yeah.
You know, I was like, Magnum TA, like Magnum and Arn, like, that's two of my favorites ever. When am I going to get another chance? And Scott Steiner's here and he's taking pictures with people. And that's my wife's, like, favorite wrestler of all time. And
that hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really,
I'm not gonna,
like,
lie, that really hurts.
Oh, but that's cool because FTR loved my Bret Hart shirt. And, and that's really all that matters.
Yeah, not to make this a competing,
not to,
like,
one up
who,
you, Bob, but
I passed on. So on that WrestleMania 33, I passed on Vader, and he died last year. That was who I gave. That's who I gave up Johnny. That's what I had to, you know, cut out because of Johnny B. Badd.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, I was like, okay, because in my mind I was like, because okay, and here's the part that got me. I ordered a Vader figure before that event, but it didn't come in yet, so I'm like, you know what, I'll get him next year. I'll have the figure. Yeah. I'll have everything. There was no next year.
Yep. I understand.
So I shouldn't say I passed on him because of that, but there was a whole, it was because of the late figure I could justify passing on him, which allowed me to have extra money to pay for Johnny B. Badd.
I got you.
Yeah, so it wasn't like I didn't, okay, I hope I'm explaining it right. It wasn't like I chose him over him because of just of a likeness. It just logistically it made sense at the time.
Oh no, I got you. I got you. Yeah, that's always the worst when you're like, oh no, I'll get them another time, and then they're gone.
Then the time never comes. Yeah.
Speaking of gone, well, no, we'll save that for another. Speaking of gone and speaking of coming, there's a whole lot of new signings coming in.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. We got AEW. We already know that they signed Sasha. Mercedes Moné, whatever you want to call her. She's always going to be Sasha Banks to me. That's one of those things. Like, it's good. You're going to have a hard time selling me on Mercedes Moné. Well, you're going to have a hard time selling me on her anyway, because I wasn't a huge Sasha fan when she was in WWE.
Yeah.
Which I've also gotten in trouble for on Twitter for calling her fragile, because she is. She's always fucking injured. It felt like she was injured. Like every 6 months she'd get an injury and be gone. Or she'd just mentally have to check out for 6 months to go find herself or whatever after losing at WrestleMania.
Yep. I mean, she literally hurt herself like, what, 3 matches into her New Japan career?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it was. Or was it New Japan, or was it something that I don't remember what company she was with. Yeah, she fell off the top rope or something like that, or the apron, and broke her ankle.
Trying to do too much, which I've always said is that's her biggest problem in the ring, is she goes too fast. She gets going and she tries to do too much too fast, and it just, she's going to injure herself or somebody else sooner or later, and it turned out to be herself. They signed and more, just lots. Debuted the newest member of the Spirit Squad, Will Ocean Spray. So did you see the picture of him in he comes out in this green tracksuit with white trim. And it's like, so it's the Spirit Squad, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
That's the first thing anyone's going to think of.
Yeah. And the minute, it'll never happen because Ziggler's in TNA, but I was thinking if he was still a free agent, they could pair them up and it's like the Spirit Squad 2.0.
Yep. But they signed Will Ospreay, which is another person who will move zero fucking units of anything. Maybe a t-shirt or two. He might sell some t-shirts. I don't know, but he's not going to sell tickets. Because anybody who would care about Will Ospreay being in AEW is already going to AEW shows and watching AEW. So same thing with their other big signing, who we thought was going to go to WWE, Kazuchika Okada. His has got to be money. That's got to be what it is money. He wants, because apparently he didn't get paid a whole lot in New Japan. So I'm sure he wants to cash in on the last couple years he has left, where he can be a higher level in-ring competitor. I wish him all the luck in the world. I think he's a fantastic talent. I'm sad he didn't go to WWE. And the biggest part I'm sad about that is because Tony's going to book him like shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even an opinion. That's pretty much how it's going to, that's just going to be how it ends up. That's a fact.
He's going to get the Jay White treatment. He'll come in, he'll get one big match, and then he'll be part of a faction that does, hand gestures, and that'll be about it. I'm starting to sound like Dave. He'll do hand gestures.
Oh, God, don't do that, please. honestly, I used to joke AEW was turning into WCW. When they even had the Dynamite logo looking like the Nitro logo. Oh, sorry, the Collision logo looking like the Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
Logo over the Dynamite. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah,
but they're literally doing the NWO like issues. New guy comes in, and what do we do? Oh, we don't have a plan for him, so we're just gonna stick him in the NWO, and that'll give him heat. That's literally what they're doing now.
He's good.
I'm not sure. I don't think Jay White was that great of. I personally never watched, haven't seen many Jay White matches, but given the hype surrounding him on Twitter and everything, my assumption is he should be a big star, or he was a big star, or he is one. I don't know.
Well, he was,
but
was
to
huge.
Put him in a feud where he's not even the, go ahead.
Although he was huge over in Japan, which, I mean, doesn't mean much okay. to an American audience. But he is. He's yeah. one of the guys in New Japan that I really liked. I was like, this guy okay. knows how to work. Now, if you put him in there with one of your prototypical New Japan guys who just wants to do a bunch of moves until you run out of moves to do, he does that too. So he doesn't mm-hmm. have the best mind for necessarily putting together a match. But if you put him in there with somebody who knows how to put a match together, like a CM Punk or that the FTR versus Jay White and Juice Robinson 2 out of 3 falls match, which is amazing. One of the best tag matches I've seen in the past 10 years, which I hate to say because FTR has fallen so far in my book. It's not even funny. But that match was really good. But if you put him in there with somebody who knows what they're doing and can put together a good match, he's really, really good. So, again, this was one of those things where if booked correctly, he could have been a giant fucking star and actually drawn money. Only problem is you got to know how to book him. And that's the last thing Tony Khan knows how to do is book anybody ever.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are the class of 2023 or whatever for AEW now. But WWE, not to be outdone, so to say, has signed Tama Tonga, who is Haku's son. So that's something. Word is he's probably, or you know, scuttlebutt on the street is that he's probably going to be a part of the bloodline, which makes sense. He's Samoan and that's the big Samoan group, and I'm sure Triple H would know how to use him and get him over with that, or he could go to NXT. But the thing about it is unlike Mercedes, Okada and Ospreay, he probably wasn't super expensive to get. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he was, because he was pretty much just in a tag team in New Japan, and tag teams aren't very big in New Japan. You know what I mean? That's the tag matches are preliminary matches. They don't ever get to the main event. So I think they probably got him for a bit of a steal. I don't know what his contract is, but I'm sure that bringing somebody in from outside, they didn't give him a huge contract like they would have, like Cody or somebody like that.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
I mean, he was just, the one thing I noticed with, I feel like Triple H is doing this thing, or whoever's signing these wrestlers, they're looking for the ones that have the most potential, not the ones that are already at the, you know, I guess not the ones who've already reached their ceilings.
Yeah.
They're not looking for, like, I mean, they could sign a megastar like Banks. I'm sure if they wanted to, they could have shelled out the money. Yeah, exactly. They're just looking for a reason to, they're looking for wrestlers who they can mold. Mm-hmm. And they can get a long-term investment out of. Mm-hmm. And that's good business.
Here's the next guy. And this one I am ecstatic about because I loved him when he left WWE and I was so sad he got let go. Sean Spears debuted on NXT this week. And apparently the thing with the writing on the screen and all of that was him. That was his like little teaser for his debut. And the reason I'm excited about it is he took the Ty Dillinger 10, perfect 10 gimmick, which is dumb. It's dumb. It's so stupid. And he got it so over because he's so good in the ring and was actually delivering good promos.
Yeah.
And got fucked by Vince because he got fucked over by the sex pest, not in a sex pest way, in a booking way. I need to make that
clear.
I'm glad
you clarified that. Yeah,
but so he got fucked over by Vince and his booking and then let go. which I think was sometime around the pandemic too. So, which makes sense. I mean, yeah, WWE was, you know, they were having a fire sale because, you know, they weren't making any money. You can't make, it's hard to make money when you can't
tour, you know, host events.
Yeah. Or sell merch. Like, they weren't doing any of that. So, but he's a great in-ring worker. He's apparently, he's a pretty good trainer. His, from what I've heard, his wrestling school is pretty popular. It does, has put out some good people. I don't know about any of that personally. This is just, you know, what people say, but he is a good get, because again, like Tama Tonga, he probably didn't cost him an arm and a leg to get. He's in NXT. Nope. He can help train. He's got a shit ton of potential with very little downside, because what's the worst? You spend, you know, a couple of mil on him over a couple of years. The way I look at what WWE's doing. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want to say anything about Sean Spears before I move on?
No, no. I mean, I'm happy he's back. I didn't realize he was as old as he is. He's older than me. Mm-hmm. I thought he was young. I do laugh because I remember when he first left WWE, a lot of AEW fans thought he'd be the next big thing.
Yeah.
And that, you know, sadly it didn't pan out for him. Well, but
he had every potential to be.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Yeah.
But two things hampered him in AEW. One, Tony doesn't know
the EVPs.
And two, he's good friends with Cody.
Yeah.
So the Young Bucks, I'm sure, ixnayed any sort of fucking push he was going to get from the very beginning. The only other person who ever tried to use him in any capacity was, again, another friend of Cody, CM Punk. And so once CM Punk got fired, I'm sure he was like, fuck this, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with this clown show. I'll go back to WWE where, you know, the guy who originally booked me to get fucking more over than I've ever been here in 5 years is now in charge of everything, and his buddy Shawn Michaels, who I'm sure will appreciate what I bring to the product, you know.
Well, Shawn owes him too. I mean, he did super kick him in the backstage segment, so
that's true. That's true.
I mean, that might have been his brother Stan, but you know,
Stan Spears.
Someone got super kicked. But you're right. It's all about the return of it.
Who is this? I'm Stan. I just super kicked Stan.
Yep. You know, they're really doing a smart move here with all this. Like, it is, like you said, just about return on investments. You don't have to go out, you know, shove out an arm and a leg to get these guys, and you're going to make, you know, you're going to make them a lot of money. They're going to make you a lot of money because, you know, you're going to be able to take their potential that you've already used. And are very familiar with, and you know, write it out this time, as opposed to dealing with people who just have big egos at this point, who think that just because they were, you know, that they have a cult following or just headlined, you know, the Tokyo Dome, they deserve the world.
It was 7 stars because it was at the Tokyo Dome.
God, sorry. You sound so much like Dave now. It's kind of scary. You got to stop it before you turn into him.
Oh, but, well, yeah, if you look at it, WWE is building, it's like they're building a good baseball team, you know? Mm-hmm. They've already got their top guys. They've got their top stars, you know? So now they're putting together the utility guys and the guys that are going to be in AAA until they move them up. And you know what I mean? They're planning for the future. Whereas Tony Khan is like the Yankees. He's just buying every high price free agent he can and hoping that it works.
Yeah. Which was WCW's mentality for a long time too. So I mean, they're really following that method.
Oh yeah, they are. They're following the Eric Bischoff method to mediocrity.
Yep. You know what I hate? This is going off tangent right now. People will criticize Bischoff in tweets saying, "Well, this is what you did." Is it that hard to conceive that maybe he's learned from his mistakes? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he understands that this is not the right moves. He may not want to come out and admit it, that this was the wrong moves, but if he's criticizing the same moves that you can say he made, maybe he's learned. Maybe he understands something different now.
Well, no, because he said on a lot of these Dark Side of the Ring stuff, especially the NWO one, he's like, yeah, maybe that wasn't the best move in hindsight. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
I mean, he's admitting it.
Yeah, he has admit that he's made mistakes, which, you know, makes me respect him a little bit more. I still think the only thing he was ever good at in the wrestling business was signing a check to somebody, but, you know, that's my personal
at least he's
opinion.
At least he's capable of change.
Yeah.
In theory.
At least he's capable to admit that he made mistakes. Unlike someone, bro, who doesn't really understand wrestling, bro.
Okay, your Vince Russo impression is not as great as your Dave impression, but you got the lingo at least.
Well, I'm not from New York, so, and I don't want to sound like Vince Russo. I don't mind sounding like
no
Dave
one wants
because
to sound
that's
like
funny
Vince Russo
because he just kind of talks like this.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it's funny now. I want to do it all the time. Okay, moving on. Moving on from the signings to more AEW buffoonery, we need to talk about the meat match, apparently, because you said that we needed to talk about this. So
just
fill me in on the meat match.
The only thing I want to talk about is just trying to understand what happened. Tony Khan releases a tweet like yesterday, or oh no, I'm sorry, yesterday was Dynamite, so it might have been the same day as Dynamite, saying that the match between Wardlow, Vance Archer, and
Lance Archer.
Powerhouse Lance Archer, whatever his name is, I don't know. I'm starting to forget all these guys' names. And Powerhouse Hobbs has to be canceled because of injuries sustained to some of the competitors. So he used multiple. So at least two of the three have to be injured.
Okay.
And then he books them in the match for an 8-man scramble that involves Jericho, Hook, and I don't know who else is in there, but it's like, okay, so why did you have to cancel the match?
Oh, Brian Cage.
Brian Cage, yeah. Why would you cancel the match if you're just going to rebook them in a different type of match? It doesn't make sense. Why would you say they weren't medically cleared?
Because Jericho realized he didn't have a match on the fucking pay-per-view card and wanted to get
so
in.
So tell
on this
Tony
match.
To come up with a better reason.
Tony
don't
doesn't
just say
know
that,
how to
yeah,
come up with a better reason. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Okay, well that's all I need, because
like
I just didn't
at this
the
point
logic.
I almost feel bad for Tony because everybody's telling him he's doing a great job when he is not, and every one of those people is just enabling him to do the same shit that he's done that hasn't fucking worked, you know, just because he's a fucking money mark, and nobody's like being like, Tony, this is really bad, like really really bad. And I was hoping Bryan Danielson would be the one to do that, but apparently he thinks all of this shit is fucking great too, because he's got a
Bryan
match with fucking
Danielson
Eddie.
May have CTEs.
He's got a match with Eddie. I'm gonna slap myself in the belly, Kingston. Like, good lord.
I don't trust Bryan Danielson's judgment anymore. I think he's suffering from like concussion syndrome.
I mean, it's got to be it to want to wrestle Eddie Kingston. I mean. God damn. If it wasn't for Blackface being faux pas, Eddie Kingston could be the new Kamala. That's how bad he wrestles. He should wrestle as somebody who doesn't know how to wrestle. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Like the anyway, never mind. So that's the story of the meat matches. Jericho
that's
realized
it.
He didn't have a and who wants to see Jericho in that match anyway? I mean, honestly, I don't want to see that match at all because I know freaking Lance Archer is going to do a bunch of stupid shit because he always wants to do the fucking rope walking stuff, which, you know, okay, again, I'm going to say it. The Undertaker doing it is stupid too. Old school is a stupid looking move. It looks dumb.
It is.
No way to explain it to make it make sense. But it's the fucking Undertaker and it's one move. And we put up with it, we grin our teeth, we bear it, we get through it, and we hope it doesn't do it twice. And if he does do it twice, at least the first or second time somebody knocks his big ass off the fucking ropes. Lance Archer walks almost halfway around the goddamn ring on the top rope while the other person stands there holding his fucking hand. I'm sorry, there's a difference between like three steps onto the rope and off and let me walk down
having a marathon
and then make a turn and walk down the other rope and then I'll come off. And he doesn't even come off like that. He comes off and does like a flip or some dumb shit. Like, I know, it's fucking ridiculous.
It is.
What the hell is wrong with you? All right. From the meat match to the meat sauce boss.
Good segue.
Ladies and gentlemen, we lost another one this week. Virgil, a.k.a. what is it, Matt Smith? Is that what his name was?
No, Mike Jones.
Mike Jones, a.k.a. Virgil, a.k.a. What was his name? Vincent.
Vincent, a.k.a. Shane, a.k.a. Curly Bill.
Yes, whatever you want to call him.
He had one more name. I can't remember what it was.
Whatever you want to call him, he was the meat sauce boss. He always got the unlimited breadsticks and soup and salad. The one and only Virgil is no longer with us. And I'm sadder about this than I probably should be. Basically because 1991 Royal Rumble, man, him turning on Ted DiBiase is like ingrained in my head from as a child.
Yeah.
I mean, because I remember like how happy I was when he finally like bowed up to DiBiase, and then when he beat him in the match and won the fucking $1 million belt,
title.
Yeah, that was great. It was fantastic, and it serves to DiBiase of how good of a wrestler he was, because let's put it plainly, Virgil was never gonna run circles around Bret Hart in the ring, but from all I've heard, he was a very nice man, very well liked and very, very well thought of amongst his peers, if not the best in-ring worker. And what is it? Cornette said, not the brightest guy on the face of the planet, but you don't have to be either of those things to be successful in wrestling. And look at Vince Russo. But no, he was very well thought of, and he'll live on forever as a meme, if worse comes to worse.
Lonely Virgil, which is sad.
Mm-hmm. It is sad, but I'm sure that there's plenty of people up there in the great big convention hall in the sky that are asking for his autograph right now.
Oh, definitely.
if you believe in some sort of afterlife, and I don't, but there's lots of people who do. So there you have it. All right. Now, there's one last thing I want to get into here, because I sent this to you earlier this week. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Cody theory.
Yes, the Cody thing. Booking.
Yeah, no.
Because I want to read this, because I want you all to hear this the way I heard it, so that there's so that we can maybe critique it a little bit, just to say, look, this is bad, and this is why it's bad. Because to be fair, when I did my rebuttal, there were more than a few you're a moron, so on and so forth, because I was literally insulted by this booking. Hold on, let me get to it here. Here we go. Oh my God, it's way longer than I thought. Okay. Cody winning clean and walking out of Mania champion is the worst route to take for this. His entire character has been about this goal. Him actually achieving said goal puts it into his character, as there's nothing else to fight for. Are you fucking kidding me? He can't grow as a fucking wrestler. Number two, it's not a character, it's a gimmick, and his gimmick is not that he's going after, he's going to finish the story. That's a program that he's in right now. Three, like I said in my original rebuttal, you can't have the babyface chase for too long, Because then people lose faith in the babyface.
Exactly.
And how many more people is Cody going to have to beat? You see what I'm saying? Because you got to keep him strong, so he can't be losing a bunch of matches. You're just going to have him run through the whole roster again for a whole other fucking year just because, or you're going to have something else happen. Here's the second. Okay, I'm sorry. Is there anything you want to say about that before we get to
I mean, that's my thing too. I mean, it's he's allowed to adapt his character and grow as a character. Mm-hmm. Not saying that him solely focus on the title is his character, but you know, storylines change, they grow, there's development. And so far, the person who wrote that concept or wrote this theory of what they want to see Cody do has lost the plot about how stories work.
So here we go.
But
because this is his booking, their booking. Mm-hmm. Rock costing Roman in his match with Cody, then attacking Cody, setting up for Priest cash in, generally makes the most sense to continue everyone's story. I'm going to read that again. The Rock costing Roman his match with Cody, then turning on Cody and attacking Cody, which sets up Priest coming and cashing in on Cody, makes the most sense to continue everyone's story. That sounds like Russo booking right there. That is, I mean, why is The Rock going to turn on Roman, then turn on Cody, then just stand there while Priest cashes in?
Yeah.
It gets better. Cody got close. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
I was saying, I don't think you want to say what better means. Because even the theory gets just, it becomes too outlandish at this point.
Oh yeah, that's what I was saying. This is like Russo booking.
No, there's no reason. At least Russo could, you know, he'd get up there and he could at least give you some bullshit reason as to why he thought this was a smart idea.
Oh, well, this is going to be the continuing of the booking afterwards. But here's, but yeah, it's too much. It's too much going on, especially to the end of the biggest pay-per-view of the year that you've been like touting as Cody Rhodes finally going to fucking do it, you know. Cody got so close only to have it taken away. Not only that, he couldn't do it by himself. So now Cody once again has something to fight for and a reason to keep improving and get better, to prove to himself that he is even worthy of finishing the story. What the fuck was the last fucking year about?
It's like the guy never even watched the show.
Like, what the fuck was the last year about?
That's why I'm saying it's completely devoid of logic.
I mean, oh. Okay. Priest ruins Cody's win and becomes the super hated heel that WWE has been trying to make him. I don't think they're trying to make him a super hated heel. I think they're trying to turn him babyface.
I don't know if they're trying to turn him babyface, but they're definitely not trying to make him the main heel.
No. They're not.
So I mean, the position he's in is where they want him, and what they see him as. They're not trying to position him as the next thing, you know, Roman Reigns.
And why is he going to cash in on a belt that he's had zero interaction with, when the World Heavyweight Championship is right there and he interacts with those people all the fucking time on the show he's actually on?
Yeah.
Roman loses the title and allows him to take off so others can be built up without him being a ceiling no one is able to crash through.
Oh, bullshit.
I don't understand that at all, because Roman is your top heel, right?
The guy who wrote this doesn't understand how booking works. The guy who wrote this doesn't understand how wrestling works. The guy who wrote this doesn't understand how basic storytelling works. He has to be like, I'm sure you at least know where, like, you know where this post came from. I don't, but when I'm reading this stuff, when you send it to me, I'm thinking this guy has to either be like 7 years old or just, you know, has never watched has never read a book in his life, because he has no idea how plots work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's basically, let's just reset everything for another year, only with Priest as the guy, Although Cody's already beaten Priest like multiple times. So
yeah,
why would Cody have to go back and refind himself to finish the story when he could just beat Priest, who he's already beaten?
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Roman is not a ceiling for people to crash through. He's not holding anybody down as the top heel. In fact, he's lifting everybody up because everybody who has had a program with Roman has come out looking better, mm-hmm. has come out having almost immediate success afterwards, if not very close to success afterwards.
Yeah.
Roman has done nothing but make stars this entire bloodline run. So to say Agreed. He's a ceiling that people are crashing up against is bullshit. Because he has a belt? Like, Seth has a belt. Seth's defeated a lot of people. Is Seth a ceiling that people are going to crash through? You know. All replanting seeds for Rock-Roman feud, the whole bloodline story. Why would there be a Rock-Roman feud if The Rock turned on Roman and then turned on Cody? Where's that feud
I mean,
at?
You're also missing the whole, why would, I thought Roman's going to disappear now. Why is he going to be feuding with The Rock during this entire time?
He's going to come back at SummerSlam, and then that's when the whole Rock thing would get going.
That's ridiculous.
Which, I have no problem with, though there's a couple, I have no problem with with Roman disappearing for a little while after the loss. You know, go lick your wounds, be with your family, take some time off. He's taken, I feel like he takes enough time off as it is, but that's, you know, I'm not the biggest star in the world who fucking was able to get a fucking cushy ass contract where I got to show up once a month. Right.
Yeah.
You know, if I had that contract, I'm pretty sure I would probably take it too. I think just about anybody else in the business would. So I'm not going to fault Roman for that. For making more money and working less. But so yeah, he takes a couple of months off. But I don't understand where the feud between Rock and Roman is. If The Rock turns on Roman and then immediately turns on Cody, I don't understand why he would turn on Roman and then turn on Cody and not just turn on Cody and keep Cody from winning. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. It does. It doesn't make sense why he has to do two turns in one night just to get it to Priest. It's very convoluted.
Yes.
Unnecessarily convoluted.
Yes.
So do we know who posted this idea? Like, do you know this person?
Oh yeah, this is somebody in one of my Discord chats. I'm not going to say who it is because I don't want to throw them under the bus. Although I don't even think they listen to the show because they sure as fuck don't watch the LWF either. So, but I was just, you know, and this
it's
is
baffling.
The same person.
It's devoid of logic, completely.
This is the same person who accused me of being a cornet. Parrot. No, like, but seriously, because it's like, I don't, like, I specifically, and I've said this on the show many times, you know this, I specifically don't watch Cornette till about a week after it's come out, or a couple days after it's come out, or after we recorded about whatever it mm-hmm. is that we're going to talk about, because I don't want to hear his ideas and have them skew what I think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because sometimes I will think one thing and then I'll hear him talk about it and he'll explain. I'll be like, yeah, that does make more sense. But I'd rather have my ideas out there and then say, no, I changed my mind than, well, Cornette said this. So, anyway. That's that.
I love WrestleMania season because everybody's coming up with their own theories and none of it makes sense because I guess, you know, I don't know why it doesn't make sense, but none of what we come up with makes sense. We should just let it stick with the professionals.
I've got really simple finishes for both fucking matches.
What's that?
Cody beats Roman clean in the middle of the fucking ring.
Oh, geez, that's a novel idea.
The Rock gets pissed and is fucking berating Roman on the way back up the fucking ramp because he lost the fucking title.
Thank you. This is exactly what I've been telling people. This should happen. The only reason Rock just gets embarrassed that Roman doesn't know how to, you know, carry on the bloodline. That's it.
Roman takes some time off. When he comes back, The Rock starts showing up again and treating Roman like Roman treated Jey Uso. Like a piece of shit, yelling at him, berating him, treating him like crap, building sympathy for Roman until Roman finally bows up and fucking confronts The Rock and turns babyface. And we get a heel Rock versus a babyface Roman at WrestleMania 41. And people throw goddamn fucking babies in the air because we're all going to be fucking into it. Because whose side is Jay going to go back with Roman? Is Jimmy going to go with Roman? Or is he going to stay with The Rock? What's Solo going to do? How is Tama Tonga going to enter into it? Like, that's, you know, there's so many questions. You don't have to book all of that shit out right now. You just have to have a general fucking idea.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Tama Tonga, I know you mentioned that he might be with the Bloodline, but I kind of see him going in with the Good Brothers for now. Just to... because they're both in NXT, there's got to be a reason for it.
That might be part of the reason they're down in NXT. That's fine. And I have no problem. There's another thing. I have no problem with the Good Brothers down in NXT. I think it's the perfect fucking place for them because it's where they can actually help
thrive
young tag teams work on being better tag teams and actually get in the ring and fucking work and not sit in fucking catering every week. You know, you've got these guys. Fucking get some fucking use out of them because they're useless on the fucking main roster. There's too many good tag teams and they're like, you know what I mean? They're just fodder for other tag teams there. And NXT, they're actually somebody and they could actually like help the division as a whole. But that's just my thought. What the fuck do I know? But here's my other finish for WrestleMania. Drew McIntyre beats Seth Rollins clean. I know, crazy, right?
Yeah.
Beats Seth Rollins clean. Drew lifts up the title. He's got the title up in the air. Here comes Damian Priest to ruin his WrestleMania moment. Priest cashes in. Priest hits him with the briefcase, cashes in, end of days or whatever it is that his fucking finisher is. 1, 2, 3, immediately Damian Priest has the title and Drew has another thing to bitch about. Somebody else stealing his fucking moment at WrestleMania. I told you so. The whole fucking nine. He can go complete batshit fucking psychopath on the fucking Judgment Day. Injure JD and Dom in the first like 2 fucking weeks or some shit. Like just really, like really crazy. To build towards that match, Drew versus Damian Priest. Maybe Priest and Rhea start butting heads because they're both champions now. Because I think Rhea should win against Becky.
Agreed.
You know, and the Judgment Day, you know, starts showing cracks. And then here comes Drew to fucking, like, fuck everybody up. And maybe this is the end of the Judgment Day. It's run its course. It's had a good fucking run.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But that... I mean, is that a pretty simple, that's a pretty simple finish, right?
Makes the most sense too.
But hey, you know, let's
okay. Remember, I take back what I said about maybe we shouldn't be, you know, fantasy booking. Cause if you actually apply logic and, you know, common sense, it doesn't look that it, you know, it comes out nice and normal and comes out with something that, you know, that makes sense. And, you know, leads to other programs.
You know, and then Seth can take some fucking time off, which he needs.
He definitely needs
that's,
it. He
that's
is
also
banged
why
up.
I think Becky should lose. I think Becky and Seth should both take some time off, take a few months, recuperate, relax, spend time with your fucking family. They'll both be big stars when they come back. They'll both get giant baby face pops.
But oh yeah, I know we're not doing a prediction show right now, but I don't see Becky winning at Mania.
I don't think she should. I think she should win it later, maybe SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But
Well, I think she still needs to complete her program with Naya. I think that's still, I think that's unfinished. I can see something happening. I don't know what. I mean, I could even see something as, you know, this gets to be on the convoluted side, but I could see something where Naya takes her out before Mania.
Yeah, interesting.
And
Again.
yeah. Yeah, I could
Yeah.
see something like that. I'm not saying I'm going for that. I'm not saying that's something I would book. But you know, I mean, the seeds are there. There's unfinished business with Naya. There is now unfinished business with Liv. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, there's going to
We're
be.
still months away.
Yeah. And when I say, when I talk about Cody beating Roman clean in the middle of the ring, I'm not saying there's not going to be interference. There's going to be attitude levels of fucking shit going on at
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
ringside between
Yeah.
the people back in Cody and the people back in Roman. There's a little
Yeah.
bloodline in Cody's commandos. But I don't think any of it gets in the ring. You know what I mean? I don't think it involves, I think it's all periphery to what's going on with Cody and Roman. I don't think Cody and Roman actually get involved with any of the other shit. Because there's enough people that you can have all of that shit happen outside the fucking ring and just be fol-de-rol out there and not affect the actual integrity of the match.
Yeah.
In my opinion. That's what I, that's,
I agree.
you know. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I definitely think that I definitely think having Rome or having The Rock do two turns and then Priest cashing in is not the
It's just
way to end
unnecessary.
the second night of WrestleMania. Because people are gonna, people would, man, oh my God. I'm gonna say this too. If Cody doesn't win at WrestleMania, I'm breaking my television. I'm going to do one of those viral television break videos. I mean, I need a new television. We need a new television anyway, so I mean, I might as well try and get some views for the podcast out of
Yeah, when you do it, you gotta have the podcast logo up there.
it. God damn it. Oh, you stupid back to the ring. Why did you see this coming? All right. All right, well, we've been at it for 1 hour and 40 minutes, so I think that's pretty good. I think that's enough time for tonight. We think we covered everything pretty
Okay.
well. We'll be
I think
back
so
in
too.
2 weeks with another current events episode. By the way, folks, we're going. We talked about this the other night. We're going to a bi-weekly format where we're just going to do current stuff for right now. Rob's been super busy with his job, and I want him to be able to have time to do that. And for me to have time, I've got some other things I want to focus on, and so we're gonna do that for now. We will get back to the reviews. Don't fret if that's why you're here. It's just it might be a couple of months before we're doing reviews of old school wrestling again. It doesn't change the fact that we're still old school wrestling fans, and we'll always bring it back to the ring. God damn it, I wish I could have ended on that, but I still have to plug us. Don't forget, you can find us at
I
Back to
was
the
okay.
Ring on Twitter. And you can find Rob at The Real Pinoy Rob on Twitter. And I'm losing my voice, so I'll go back to Dave. Thanks for listening to us. No. And in the good, in the. Do you have anything to add, Rob, before I close this up?
No, other than the fact that you're getting really good at these segues. I'm very impressed by what you're doing now.
So am I. I'm super.
I need to up my game.
I'm super impressed as well. I've really, I've flubbed up the beginning. Now I'm flubbing up this back one. So I've flubbed
That's
it up
okay.
on both ends.
I jinxed you.
Yeah. See, there you go. And the end in the words of our good friend Arn Anderson, it's been your pleasure. He's Rob. I'm Bob. So long.